This is HPR episode 2048 entitled, The Hubot Chatbot. It is hosted by John Hewatt and is about 22 minutes long. The summary is, an introduction to the Hubot Chatbot.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi, this is Ken reminding you to go over to podcastawards.com and vote for Hacker Public Radio every day this week, right up until Sunday. Every vote counts. Thank you very much.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Hacker Public Radio. My name is John Duarte, and today I would like to talk to you about my current chatbot of choice, Hubot. So there's tons of chatbots out there. I'm not saying that Hubot is the greatest, but it happens to be the one that I'm using currently, so I thought I would share with the community a little bit about it. So one of its biggest differentiator is that unlike a lot of the chatbots that are geared specifically toward IRC, Hubot has a slew of adapters. So it can run on anything from IRC to Skype chat to XMPP to HipChat to Slack and Mattermost and all those things. Pretty much anything you want to run it on, there's already an adapter for it, and if there isn't, you can write your own. So it's written by the folks at GitHub in Node.js, and the bits that you interact with to extend Hubot to do your bidding are written in CoffeeScript. So Hubot uses individual CoffeeScript scripts to provide the chatbot functionality. And there's a slew of existing scripts available in the NPM, which is the Node package management community. So you can just go to npmjs.com and search for anything with the keyword Hubot-scripts in it, and you're likely to find something that would interest you. You can also write your own in order to make sure that Hubot can provide the functionality that you specifically are interested in. So let me start out with walking you through what it looks like to install Hubot. So it's available as an NPM package to install on top of Node.js, or using Node.js. So you'll need to install Node.js and NPM first. I'm not going to go through that install. There's it's either available in your package repos, or you can go to the Node.js website to go check it out and download the latest and greatest one and install that on your system. However, having been through this myself, I will give you a cautionary bit of advice. If you are using an ARM-based processors such as that in the Raspberry Pi, you want to make sure that you are using a distribution that is using the ARM HF or hard float architecture rather than the ARM soft float architecture, which is abbreviated as ARM EL. So if you just look through your distributions packages and if they all contain the architecture ARM HF, you're good to go. If you're ARM EL, then you're going to have some pain installing Node.js because it's my experience was that it's not fully supported there. But once you have Node.js and NPM installed, you can install Hubot and its dependencies with just installing a generator script that GitHub includes as an NPM install. So you'll install the following npm packages: Hubot, Yo, That's Y-O, generator-hubot, and CoffeeScript. So those are the dependencies. And what that's going to do is install all the Hubot dependencies, and then it's going to kick off the Hubot generator as a Yeoman generator project. And I'll include the exact details in the show notes, so you'll know what to type in there. So one of the other caveats is that you'll need to do this as a non-root user. Because the generator also sort of deploys Hubot as its own Git repository, a fresh Git repository that you can then, add a remote to and push to your own remote Git server and manage it that way, you probably want to do it as a separate user with its own home directory that is not your everyday user. So for this example, I'll use the Yeoman user. I'll just create a Yeoman user to do that in. When you fire off the generator script, it will ask you for some information that Hubot needs in order to build itself. There are four specific pieces of information that it needs. The owner, the name of the bot, description of the bot, and the adapter that you would like to use. And so those can either be added on the command line when you kick off the actual Hubot Yeoman generator, so after you get all that stuff installed that I just talked about, you're going to run the Yeoman generator script itself with Yeoman. So that would be Y-O space Hubot, and you can just use that and go through the interactive install, or you can add the answers for the owner, the name, the description, and adapter as command line flags to the Yo Hubot command as well. So in my example, I will call my Hubot my bot. I will give it a description of my helpful robot. And for this example, I'll be using the shell adapter, which rather than hooking up to a specific chat infrastructure, just allows you to play with it at the command line. So then you can run the Hubot command. It will dump you to a Hubot shell, and then you can play with the various scripts provided and then work on developing your own. You can then accept the rest of the answers as defaults with the dash dash defaults flag on that command. So once you've got Hubot installed with the Yeoman generator, so as I said, so if you've got a dedicated user, it's going to create all the necessary files at the root level of that user. It's going to create a gitignore file. It's going to actually execute the initial Git commit. So I guess I should preface this. Before you actually run the Yo Hubot command for that user, you should have Git installed to get a clean experience, and you should also add the appropriate username and email for Git to make sure that Git is fully configured for that user before you kick off the Hubot command. So once Hubot is installed, as I said, so you've got a clean install. If you do a Git status, it's going to say everything is clean. There's nothing to commit. If you do a Git log, there'll be one commit for the initial commit. And that will allow you to manage your Hubot, move it to another computer if you like. So this is very convenient. So if you have a more powerful machine that you want to do development on and then push it to a Raspberry Pi, after you've committed those changes, it runs very well on the Raspberry Pi, but it is fairly slow to do development work on. I've also run it in a Docker container. It works well there as well. So to kick the thing off, after it's the Yeoman script has installed it, it will also include a script to actually run Hubot itself in a bin directory, which the generator also installed. So in the home directory of the user that you created, there'll be a bin directory, and there'll be a hubot command there. And you can give it the adapter that you'd like to use. So I think by default it uses shell, but for the just to make this completely explicit, we'll go ahead and add the dash dash adapter flag to that command and tell it to use shell. So that will actually walk the tree of all the installed RPM modules, build Hubot, and fire it up, and it'll be ready to go. And you'll get a Hubot prompt. And at the Hubot prompt, you're ready to, you know, start interacting with Hubot. So essentially, you could just use that prompt as a chat based interface to start playing with it. So one of the sample commands that it comes with is a ping command to make sure it's up and running. So you can start with my bot, which in order to make sure that you're addressing the bot specifically, and give it the command ping. And then the bot will respond with the phrase pong to let you know that it's up and running. So that's sort of the hello world. If everything went well, you get a prompt, you type in my bot space ping, you should get back a pong. And now Hubot is golden. So we can take a look at what other commands were installed by default by asking Hubot for some help. So we'll type mybot space help at the shell prompt, and you'll get back a list of the various commands that mybot will respond to. So there's about a dozen of those that come out by default. So one of those is echo, where you'd give it the name of the bot, the echo command, and then some text, and the bot would respond by echoing back the text to you. So we can try that out with my bot, echo, and then hello world, and then it comes back with hello and just responds hello world, returns that to the chat window. Another one is the rules for all bots. So you enter the name of the bot, my bot, and then the phrase the rules, and Hubot will return the four rules, the Isaac Asimov's rules for robotics. Let's see. So those are a good place to start and give you an idea of how the thing works. But the most exciting thing about Hubot is the ability to add your own scripts. So you can add canned scripts. So if you go back to the NPM website and search for the Hubot scripts, again, you'll come up with a ton of those. So I'll give you an example about how you install those. So once you find a Hubot script that you like or you think would be useful to you, you can go back as that user that you designated for Hubot, get out of the shell. You do this at the command line, and you'll execute an npm install and then the name of the script. So I will do the example one of the Simpsons Hubot plugin with npm install hubot-simpsons. And then that will go ahead and install. So that installs the script, but it doesn't tell Hubot itself that it's available for use. So at the root of the home directory, you'll see a JSON file called external-scripts that contains a list of the npm scripts that are available for it to use. And you can just add in the Hubot-Simpsons script to that array. So once you add that in there, and you do, for curiosity, if you do a git status, you'll see a couple of files that are available to add for the npm Simpson Hubot Simpsons module itself, as well as the changed file, the external-scripts.json, that reflects the change that you made to add the Simpsons plugin. So at this point, the Simpsons plugin gives you a couple different things. You can get a Simpsons image, or you can get a Simpsons quote. If you need help, again, you can do mybot help, and that'll give you all the commands, or you can do mybot help and the specific command that you're interested in. So in this case, you could do mybot help Simpsons. It'll tell you what that the interface is for the Simpsons plugin. So we'll go ahead and do mybot Simpsons quote, and the plugin goes out and slurps down a Simpsons quote. The one that I got back was Disco Stew likes disco. So that's how to add pre-baked scripts. The other thing you can do is write your own. Hubot includes an example file that'll show you all the ways that you can architect your CoffeeScript to interact with Hubot itself. You add these to the scripts directory, and these are added automatically when you fire up Hubot. So any CoffeeScript that you add to the scripts directory, you do not have to touch another file. As soon as you relaunch Hubot, that will be available to you. So if you currently look in the scripts directory, you'll see an examples.coffeescript that was included on the install. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there. So I'm going to pluck out one little section of there for the HAL 9000 that will respond to a request to open doors. We'll modify that a little, you know, just take that chunk, wrap it up into its own script. We'll call it, HAL9000.coffee. And what it will do is if we happen to ask the bot to open French doors, it should respond, happily respond, it would be able to do that. But if we ask it to open the pod bay doors, it should deny that request. So I'll have the CoffeeScript in the show notes. It's fairly simple. There's the two primary ways that that Hubot interacts with stuff typed in the chat room is either directly by responding to something. So it uses the robot.respond method. So if you use the, call out your bot specifically, it will then respond to the regex pattern as defined in the scripts. The other one is the here method, so robot.here. And in that case, it doesn't need to be called explicitly. Like if you type in something and don't talk about the bot at all, but it finds a phrase that it should be responding to, it will hear that and then perform an action appropriate to that particular input. So here this is just a simple if statement. So it will respond to a regex starting with open the and ending in doors. It has some conditional logic. If the matched group between open the and doors is pod bay, then it will not open the doors. And for any other door, it would gladly open that. So with the script written and put in the scripts directory, we'll restart Hubot with the shell adapter that gets us back to the shell. We type in mybot, open the French doors, and Hubot responds with opening the French doors. And then when we enter mybot, open the pod bay doors, Hubot responds with, I'm afraid I can't let you do that. Let's see. This is a minor feature, but it's super helpful. So obviously you don't want to give your bot a long name. If you're using it a lot, you'd be typing that in. But one of the other cool things is that you can give your bot an alias. Instead of typing out your bot's name, you can alias it to as little as a single character. So I alias mine to just the exclamation point. So that way, if I want to address my bot rather than typing in my bot, I can just use the bang or exclamation point and execute the same command. So that's done. Also, when on the command line, when you fire out Hubot, you'll use the dash dash aliases flag. And once that's up and running, you just go exclamation point, open the pod bay doors, and Hubot responds to that alias. I'm afraid I can't let you do that. So I find that super, you know, saves you a lot of typing, super helpful. It's also easy for people to see in the chat window. Just that single odd character is actually easier to grok than a name that sort of gets lost in the rest of the text. Let's see here. What else did I want to talk about? The adapters. Sure. So obviously you're not going to use the shell adapter. That's not very useful in production. But there are, you know, tons of them out there. If you want to use it in IRC, it's available. I personally am using the XMPP adapter with my eJabberD server, and just have a couple of different group chat rooms that I have added the bot to. And then, you know, it just responds to commands. So I hope this sounds interesting to you. You know, please do check out the Hubot project. I'll have a link to that project in the show notes. You can find it at GitHub. So it's at hubot.github.com. Again, written by the GitHub folks. You can do a bunch of different stuff with it. You know, as entertaining stuff like the HAL 9000 script that we just went through. There's also a prepackaged 8-ball script, which is fun. So you can ask the magic 8-ball questions, and it will respond. There's also a Twilio plugin for it. So you can give it your Twilio credentials, and then that allows you to do things like send text messages to numbers that you would enter in the chat room as well. So I've customized that myself to actually alias the you know, my family members' names to their mobile numbers, so that I can just send them SMS messages directly from the group chat rooms. And that's just as simple as a, you know, my bot SMS and then the person's name and the message that they want to send. And then the bot will let you know that when it was able to send that correctly. And that's all I've got. Yeah, check it out. Hope you find it interesting. You know, send in your own shows to Hacker Public Radio. Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.